The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have. It is a great time, Lord. You know I asked you to move me out of the way, because chapter 12, Father, it is so difficult for my little mind to comprehend. And Lord, it is about you. It is what you said, and I have to confess as your servant, there are certain chapters and certain books in the Bible that I just have a hard time preaching because of the disturbance in my soul of knowing I'm not doing a good job to do it. And today is one of those days with these verses. So I ask you, Father, to really, really lay it out, and prayerfully it can be clear. And we thank you in your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say.
Praise God.
You know, for those of you who needs convicting, I pray these verses will convict you. And for those of you who need comfort, I pray that these verses will comfort you. John chapter 12. Go with me to the end of John chapter 12. Verse 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. It seems to me that what Jesus is saying is, there's nothing more important than what the Father has spoken through me. The Word. If you are not grounded in the Word, it is a waste of time for you to try to do anything else. The Word of God is the foundation, and if you are having trouble accepting the Word, it's going to be difficult for you to be obedient of what it takes to please God. Look at the next two verses, 47, 48. And if any man hear me and hear my words and believe not, I don't judge you, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. That's my job. I want to save the world. But how am I going to save the world? Verse 48. He that receives me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. He says, it is the word that is going to be the final say about you and me. It is what you are doing with the word. It's going to have the most major effect on how we're going to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. They talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 10. It is the word that lays the foundation. Now, if God is going to judge us according to the word, if he's going to put a scale on us of how well we're doing according to the word, then God has a responsibility to protect his word. If he does not protect his word, he is not a God, the sovereign. You got to accept that fact. If God does not protect his word, which is going to be the basis, the thermometer, the scale of what everyone's going to be in front of him, he is a very cruel God to let man come along and destroy and mess up his word. Now, it isn't about just believing the word. It's about believing that God is capable of keeping his word pure. That's a tough word for a brother from Alabama. Pure. Pur. Pretty pure. But I practice. Because I know what most of you people come from. Pure. Can I have an amen on that one? Now we're getting ready to verse 12. We've already laid all of chapter 12 out right there, what I just said. The last two verses. Land on the word. So is this word true? You got to jump on the bandwagon if you're ever going to relax and walk with God. Because that's the only thing he's given about himself is the word. And those of you that are in the doctrine class, what is the only thing that's true about God? What God says about himself. That's it. If it comes from man, you can be suspect. Ah, this is tough. This is tough. On the next day, many people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. Now, according to verse 12, on the next day, this would be the fifth day before he's killed. At the dinner, at the beginning of chapter 12, was the sixth day before the Passover. So the next day would be the fifth day. So he has enough time to get people really mad at him by the time they are mad enough to kill him. Because how can you go? Now, many people are trying to figure out, how can you go from throwing your clothes down in front of him, throwing palm leaves, bowing down, saying Hosanna, calling him the Messiah, and then 5 days later, kill him, crucify him. Don't just kill him, make it hurt for a long time. What happened to the crowd to go from that to the most extreme killing of all crucifixions? And one of the greatest aspects of Christ that his father showed him was that God took him quick on the cross. Because he should have lasted a lot longer. That's what they crucified him with. But he had to die on the Passover. To represent the Lamb of God, who the blood was put on the doorpost in Egypt, so that the death angel would pass over that house because the blood of Christ was on it. And when the death angel come for us, he's gonna, whoa! I shouldn't get excited about the Bible because people are just not excited about people getting excited about the Bible. They want to get excited about the new gospel. We'll leave it at that. One of the old teachers out of Dallas said, you know, that was a time when I was concerned about people being in context of the scriptures, and that they was treating them correctly when they talked about it and preached. But he said, today, I'm just glad to find it in the Bible, what they're talking about. I guess I'll leave that alone. You guys don't understand what I just said. Man. They took branches, and they don't say it here, but in the Synoptic Gospels, they talk about him, people screaming, yelling, taking their clothes off, throwing them down on the ground. Yeah. I out of the mouths of babes. Encourage the pastor. Some response. I think we ought to just close in prayer. On this Super Bowl Sunday, pastor got some praise. I guess they've been on that boy by throwing his clothes on the ground. Now I got a lot of verses to do here in 15 minutes now, so hold it down. Woo! Screaming Hosanna. Anybody know what Hosanna mean? Does anyone know what Hosanna mean? What was that? Louder. God in the highest. They said Hosanna because he was God of the highest, but it doesn't mean God in the highest. That's what we have really got fooled a lot. Amen. Hosanna. Anyone? Saved. Means save us now. So here Jesus is coming in, and all the people is so excited because they are saying that he is the highest, the king, the Messiah, and their understanding is the Messiah comes back forever and rules on the earth and gonna whip the Romans. Gonna save them from their oppression of the secular Gentile world. And Jesus is gonna give them a message. Nope. You're wrong. Not going to do it. I didn't come as the conquering king at this time. I came as the suffering servant to die. And the people were so disappointed that they learned that in those 5 days. Turned on him because of disappointment. Not because they're fickle. Have you ever been disappointed in the Lord not coming through? Come on now, talk to me. Careful. Have you ever been disappointed that even when he came through, it wasn't the way you wanted him to come through? Have you got a little angry, disappointed? Have you ever got to the point that you've come to saying something like this? Wow, what's the use of serving God? He certainly don't. I mean, they call this the triumphant entry. Would you call it triumphant entry if you know you're coming to die? God, Just in case you want to, you can save me from this. We're going to talk about that when Jesus says, if it is possible, remove this cup from me. He wasn't talking about dying. You know that, right? He was not asking God not to let him die and be crucified, even though he knew how bad it was, because he has foreknowledge as God. So he wasn't asking, remove this bitter cup from me, because he was born to die. Now, why would he be asking God to remove what he was born for? So it got to be something else. Amen. Come on, talk to me. I see that it's going to take another week to get through chapter 12. Because you're not responding correctly now.
First you tell us not to respond so we can get there. Now you want
to. I got voices. in my head. They're coming somewhere right there. Now, you got to understand, it seems as though things happen so quick in John, and some of those days are skipped in John, so you miss out on what Jesus is doing to really make them mad at him. So many will go, Hosanna, save us. You are the Messiah. You are the Messiah. It's him. We finally see him. Come on, come on. I mean, they're going nuts. They've heard about the miracles. And there's two crowds. You guys know that, right? Oh, some of you are going, what do you mean two crowds? Yeah, I'm sure it's two crowds. Verse 13, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord and going to save us, going to kick the Romans all over the place, and you're going to be here forever. And that's what they're thinking. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, set upon it, as it is written, Psalms 118, screaming Hosanna, Zechariah, when he's screaming that he's going to ride in, the king's going to ride in on a colt. Does anyone know anything about riding a horse? Could you raise your hand? You know anything about riding horses? Now, even if you don't know about riding horses, what happens the first time someone ever gets on a horse? Fall off. No, you don't fall off. You're helped. So Jesus tells the two of his disciples, now go and get this donkey. He's tied up over there on 1618, 264 Northeast, Redmond. And when you get over there, there's going to be somebody that's standing there, and they're going to ask you, what are you doing taking my donkey? Just turn and look at him and say, the Lord has need of him. And they'll say, okay. Man, is that awesome? And you know what the disciples are saying? You know, this donkey has never been ridden. I can't wait to see when Jesus get on it. It's going to be a rodeo. You know what? As stubborn as a jackass is, it even submitted to Christ. And if a baby jackass can submit to Christ, what does that say about us when we don't? I wanted to rush. I didn't want to say things like this. And Jesus got tired, and he went in the other gospels, the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You can find out all the things that's happening in these one or two, three verses that it isn't talked about in John. So Jesus comes in. He takes all the praise. He accepts the praise of being the Most High, the one that can save. But they didn't want to be saved that way that Jesus came to save. He goes back to Bethany. He has some downtime for the night. He comes back the next day, and he's hungry. Hungry. He don't want a sandwich. He wants a sandwich. That's a meal. So he runs into a little fig tree. Y'all know the story? And the fig tree was lying to him. Did you know that? The fig tree told Jesus a lie. And people go, well, why did he kill the fig tree and wither it? Because the fig tree lied, just like Israel, just like some of us. Well, what was the lie? It pretended that it was religious and it could feed Jesus. Remember what happened at the house of Mary and Martha? Martha wanted to feed Jesus. Jesus says, Mary picked the best, and that is worship me and let me teach her. In other words, Martha, if you don't feed me, I can survive. But if you don't let me feed you, you're going to wither up. So when Jesus was hungry the next day, are you guys with me? When Jesus was hungry the next day, he was coming down and he said the fig tree had leaves on it. Anybody know the characteristic of a fig tree? Come on, speak up. If it has leaves, it has fruit. They grow together. Now, Jesus was far off, so he couldn't see the fruit, but he could see the leaves saying, hey, over here, you want to eat? I can take care of that. Come on over here. So Jesus walked over to the fig tree expecting to receive nourishment. And the only thing he got was a lie. And he said, for doing that, for pretending like you're righteous, pretending like you got fruit, and he's talking about Israel, he's talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, no one will ever eat of you again. And he's saying that about Israel. I'm going to shut you down until judgment in the tribulation period. I don't know about you, but I just think the scriptures are just awesome. Now, another thing he did that week, because we got a couple of minutes, and don't look like we're going to finish 12. I know you're disappointed. You know what else he did during that week? He came into Jerusalem. And when he came into Jerusalem, what was the first place he went? Anybody know after the triumphant entry? You know where he went? Went to the temple. And he started whipping on folks, beating them, turning over tables. Ah! You know what the average Christian would say today? I'm not going to follow a preacher that goes off like that. That wasn't loving. Can I have an amen? Come on, talk to me. He gets too excited. He is too political. Come on, Joe. Turning tables over. Running the lambs out of there. The crooked ones, the triple ones. They were selling crippled lambs. Bad doves that couldn't fly. They were selling anything they could. Making money off of the Passover. And Jesus, not in my house. Turned it over. And then he picked up corded ropes and started beating them in there. Jesus was... He was a carpenter. He probably was had a little swole on. Can I have an amen? And all the guys ran out of the temple. Ran out. And then when they got outside, because Jesus must have been hot. All right? When they got outside, then they turned around and looked back in the temple and said, hey, who told you could do that? Under what authority? They said, man, first thing we got to do is get away from these ropes and that crazy guy in there. Then we're going to ask the question. There's some wisdom in that. Can I have an amen? If a person is crazy, don't stand around. Keep some distance. Because God has given you a brain. Stay safe. Now we hit, and next week we got to deal with this. Jesus hit what was important when it came to poor people. I don't know if you guys remember that. I hope you did. In chapter 12, he talks about the next group of people, those that come to him that want answers and come to him at the wrong time. There are certain priorities that you and I ought to make and not let anything get in the way, especially if it's time with Christ. But how many of you have ever sat down to study your Bible And all of a sudden, something pops in your head. You know you didn't call Mary Lou. Something pop in your head. Oh, we better get up and you better, you know, you didn't do that in the kitchen. You left that in the car. Am I the only one that thoughts like that happen when you sit down to study? Thoughts like that can't happen if you don't sit down to study. But if you sit down to study, first thing the flesh does is try to keep you from getting in it. And it can be righteous thoughts, righteous thing to do. But now is not the time to do it. Well, we ran out of time. You know, I preach till we run out of time. I wanted to get to all the chapter 12, 12 through 50. But again, forgive me, I failed. And some of you ought to be glad. Because it's good. What God is going to say to us is good. Are we finished? Are we need some music? Or we can always do some music? Always do some music. Let me get amen on that. We can always do some music. The visitor, hello. Make sure you come back in the back. I have something for you. Please say hello to me. I'd like to thank you for coming. And those that have any other ailments or need to talk to me or have theological questions, I'll be in the back and I'm going to direct you to Wednesday night. That's the place to get those questions answered. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for what you want to do and how you want to do it, because you are our God. This is your word, Father. It is awesome. It is beyond. We praise you now for what you want to accomplish and do in our lives as we walk this day. We just praise you, Lord. I can't say anything else. I just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.